Welcome back to Shoujo, the anime recap podcast where I, Sarah, have my friend Joe here watch shoujo anime series, a genre of anime typically for young girls. And most of the time I have seen the show, Joe's new to the show. Our current series is the exception to that. We're both new. And that show being The Rose of Versailles, which we will chat about in a little bit here. But first, Joe, what's up?
I take issue with you saying that we're a recap podcast. We do more than recap.
Fine.
We also talk about it.
Okay. We're just...
You can't sell us short. If we're just recapping, yeah, we're not like reading Wikipedia articles to you. You know what I mean? We're throwing our own stuff in there.
Okay. Yes, yes.
All right, fine. Well,
I would assume that's the assumption is that like it's more normal people are going to talk about it than only recap it.
You'd be surprised the number of like YouTube videos I would watch that are like,
well, that's YouTube
analyzing this, and they just recap it, and then the video ends, and I'm like, you just recapped it. You didn't actually like say anything. It's prevalent. It's everywhere.
Is YouTube true. Your preferred? Like, I feel like some podcasts are only on YouTube.
No, I don't like listening to podcasts on YouTube because I never watch the video anyway. So it's like,
okay. Yeah, Spotify's really pushing for videos on their podcast now, but I'm like, podcasts are about terrible things, so it's like, let's look at the terrible things that I'm listening about, too. Like, let's look at the sad child before we learn
Spotify
about the terrible fate. Yes.
Oh, that's weird.
They're like really pushing it.
I don't think pivot to video is really going to work out, you know, considering how it worked out the first time.
Mm.
I haven't listened to any podcasts really through Spotify because I don't like how it puts everything in one feed. Like, I don't want all of the music and the podcast and everything all in like your like a little main thing. I think that sucks. I want it all separate.
Oh, do you mean like time listings?
No, like in the UI. Because it's like, I'm usually relying on like recent stuff. It's like, here's the 6 things you last did or the 8 things you last did. And I know they have the little like banner things at the top where you could like scroll through it all. But like, that's too much work. I'm not going to do that every single. It's like how YouTube now is like, I'm just complaining about things. It's like how YouTube now, like you search something on YouTube and immediately it dumps everything in the main feed. And it's like, I only want videos. Why would I want anything that isn't a video? I don't want to watch shorts. I don't want to watch whatever the hell else they have. But you have to click on that every time you do a search. It's so annoying.
I'm trying to think when I go to Spotify, I just go to my library and then it has like the sorting or you can pin things. Like I have my like songs, new episodes and our podcasts pinned to the top. So those are always the things at the top of my Spotify app.
How do you pin?
If you like tap and hold it, it'll let you pin when you're in your library.
I just see share and show Spotify code.
Well, do you have like a specific thing open? Because I have like the library open where like it's all the things and not one thing opened. And then you like hold on it and then a thing will pop up to pin. Spotify tutorial.
But whatever. Anyway, I think they should just make a better app.
Okay.
Whatever they have done is insufficient. So it says me.
And you're listening to Apple Podcasts, but like, and I haven't had an Apple device in like 2 years now, but I just remember it being like, oh, I can't even like filter the order that I'm being presented these episodes. It's only from like newest to oldest, which is dumb.
That's not true.
Maybe they fixed that, but like,
oh,
in
yeah,
like 2022, that was the case. And I was like, ew.
No, you can sort them now.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. I like it when things are separate. I don't like it when it's all the same. I think that's gross.
Mm. Well,
anyway, what'd you do this week?
That's it? That's all you got? Didn't do anything?
I have other things. I listened I finished an audiobook. Okay. I'm sorry. I finished an audiobook. I listened to Heir to the Empire. a Star Wars Legends book for one of the podcasts I'm listening to. I'm like finally doing this. They like did this forever ago and I'm finally doing it. It's the first one where Grand Admiral Thrawn gets introduced and it's like post Empire. No, it's post Return of the Jedi. So it's like, here's what everybody did after that. And it was like written pretty like before the prequels. So there's all this different stuff going on. Have I talked about this before?
No. Have you read, listened to Star Wars books before?
No, I had not listened to any audiobooks from Star Wars. And it turns out, like, that's a pretty good way of listening to it because they can add, like, a lot of stuff. It's more like a radio play, it feels like, right? Because it's like, they can add the blaster shots, they can add the background music, all that other stuff. And that's really fun.
It's just like a, that's like not a normal audiobook, right? It's like Star Wars special that they're adding all those bits and bobs.
Yeah, most audiobooks I listen to don't do that. Like, I've listened to a couple of audiobooks. Like, I listened to, like, the Game of Thrones one, like, the first couple of those, and I listened to, like,
it's just an old man talking about Daenerys being violated as a 13-year-old, and you're like, this is so weird feeling that it's an old man reading this to me. I don't
but that
like
guy
it.
Rules. He does, like, a gajillion voices, and it's the only way I could remember who anybody was. So, like, when I watch the show, I'm just like, who the hell are all of these people? I don't know who they are. But reading that book feels impossible to me, having listened to it. So, but yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, normally I think they don't have as much like sound production stuff going on. But because this is like from a movie, I guess it's really easy because like all of the
sound effects, you know, already exist.
Sound effects are already in a library somewhere. Right. So.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, because, well, there's so many Star Wars books. They seem unapproachable because it's like the timeline of where you could be hopping in is vast between all the different books. Or if it's like, I know there's like in the last few years, the High Republic or something is like a new like line of something or other that they're pushing. And so it seems like a lot. Like, where do you start with that? Star Wars books, and then probably some of them are good and some of them aren't.
Yeah, I feel like you really have to go off of like some recommendation or like this is like this one author wrote this span of books and you just read that or something like that. This is the first time I've read anything that's like supplemental to a franchise.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I know you read like comics and stuff like Dragon Age comics and things like that, but I never really do that ever. So this is my first time kind of doing that. And it's interesting to see
Dragon Age had novels and Mass Effect also had books. And it's like interesting, but also, well, it's okay. Cause like with Mass Effect, there was maybe four or five, and I read all but the last one because the last one, like I saw a lot of reports of like they had changed authors and that author had like some of the stuff was not consistent with the lore of the games. And they had said, they'll go back and fix it, but I don't know if they ever did. But right, like how closely are they holding secondary storytelling accountable for consistency that they are in the games, you know?
Well, I mean, like to a certain extent, I don't know. Like, I don't consider them the same thing, so that doesn't really bother me as much. It's more of just like, hey, what is your interpretation of this character? Like, are you writing this character in the voice I feel like they have in my mind, like when I watch Star Wars or whatever? And Timothy Zahn, the guy who wrote this, I feel like does a pretty good job with most of the characters. Like, Luke is really good. I feel like Han's pretty good.
Gotcha.
Leia's pretty all right, but at least she gets things to do. I like that she gets things to do.
Yes, changing it up, giving her stuff to do.
Yeah, they give her a lightsaber, dude. It rules. I'm like, finally, let's go.
Yeah. See, but I feel like that's like the kind of thing you do. Like, not fan service, but like, that, you know, like give people what they want. That's the kind of thing people want, you know?
Yeah, it's like the kind of thing that like fans want, right? Like that does feel like you're selling to an audience.
Well, if it's like it feels like a character has not been fully utilized and there's been like a consistent like fan request or whatever, and then they fulfill that desire, like, you know, gives the like, oh, they're listening to us. And
yeah, well, especially because like so much, you know, I mean, I guess this is like a lot of stuff now, right? Like we complain a lot about like newer franchise stuff being like, we never just hang out with the characters, right? Like, how come these people are just like aren't interacting and like we just get their characterization that as good, you know what I mean? Like the kind of thing that you would do in like a fanfic or something like that, where I'm just like, they should have more of this energy in there. And this is the kind of thing where you get that, where it's just like, hey, you want to like see all these characters you like just like hanging out and doing some weird stuff? That's fun.
Party banter.
Yeah.
We but love it. It's what it. The
people want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway,
gotcha. What have you been up to? So, I have been restless. I don't know, because I'm trying to figure out what have I been doing. I've got 3 reality shows going on right now. So I've got mm-hmm. Love Island All-Stars, Challenge mm-hmm. All-Stars Rivals, and Traitors, which mm-hmm. Okay, this last episode of the Traitors had me so like worked up and mad. I was like, if this doesn't go this way, I'm gonna be so angry. Like, it's frustrating to watch, and I'm like, how could they let, you know, like, does this person not realize that they're making everyone hate them by doing this? And like, or like, what if I'm wrong and the rest of the internet's like, yeah, I'm into it. So that happened once on Love Island last year. I was like, oh my god, am I like wrong because the internet is in consent, is agreed on something and I'm not in agreement with it? And normally, I don't know. It's like,
I think that means you're wrong. Yeah. I think you just have to go with what the internet says.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, well, because sometimes I'm like, maybe I just have a more shallow, like surface level interpretation of what's happening. Or like, it's, you know, there's like the current trend of the mindset and maybe I'm just not with it. But.
Oh.
Or there's like internet sleuths who are doing like super deep diving, so they're like, I saw this post from like 2 years ago, so we know they're full of shit, so they suck, and I didn't do that, so I don't know, so I'm just going based off what I'm being presented from the show alone. And
that feels like too much.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, reality TV subreddits, crazy town. Outside of that, I downloaded the Monster Hunter Wilds beta. So after we finish recording, I'm probably going to spend 2 hours making a character that I can then port over to the game when it releases at the end of the month. But so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I don't know. It's been another busy like work week. I'm just a business woman and like, career on the mind and all that.
Negotiating contracts.
Yeah. I got benefits. Drinks with coworkers.
Nice.
For like the first time ever, I think. Yeah, I felt like a grown up.
Nice. Yeah, you're doing it. You're doing the young professional.
Yeah, deal. So we're just all commiserating about being single and like, dang. Uh-huh. You know, like,
wow, what fun times you guys have.
Yes. Yeah, that's all I got, really. Nothing super exciting, sadly. But yeah, you know what is exciting? That we're getting over all the back and forth of the same issue and moving on to new things within our show today.
Oh, and the Rose of Versailles. We finished the Dewberry stuff. It
so long. Yes.
It was 3 episodes. I feel like it was pretty good. I don't know. It feels like a decent amount of time.
Yes.
Too long for you. It's 40 episodes, so it's longer, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was just mostly the same, like, Marie being stubborn. Man, Dewberry being like, boo-hoo. King saying something, you know, yeah.
I'm afraid that we're going to get a lot of Marie being stubborn going forward in this show. Oh. I feel like maybe that's her whole deal.
Yeah, well.
Maybe. We'll see.
God, yeah. We can. Okay, I have thoughts about characters now.
All right, well, let's get into it. But first, we could do some voice actors. Once again, not the most interesting of like a diverse cast, you know. It turns out normally all the voice actors just did some older stuff.
Favorite part is when we learn of
it. Is this nobody's favorite part? Normally it's like, oh, if we watched, like, I feel like we're just watching shows, because normally it's like the same like 40 people in anime voice acting do like a ton of stuff. And so it's like, oh, you can recognize this person, they're this person, oh, this other thing, right? But like every show we've watched so far has been like, yeah, this person did like 5,000 background characters who've had 2 lines, and then they did this one character for the entire run, and that's it. That's weird. Mm. It's not normal. All right.
Well, anyway. See, it's the shoujo shonen difference.
I have some in this one. I have some. All right. So I'm excited about some of these. Anyway, okay. The voice actress for Marie Antoinette is Miyuki Ueda. She is Rilla in Galaxy Express 999. Can you live like a warrior? I don't know what that is. Like a movie. I came
the
out
full
later.
Name? Okay. I was going to say, I know the galaxy thing we talked about last.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah. 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 This is like one of the, they had like several movies. I don't know. There's something about this like series that just like they make a new movie every couple of years, I guess. She's also various characters in the Space Battleship Yamato movies. So like different characters every time. So showing up in that series a lot. She is the mother in Lady Georgie, which is a show that had like 50 episodes. Never heard of it.
Me neither.
But that's interesting. And that's mostly it. There's some other stuff that I just didn't recognize. Like a lot of background characters and some other stuff. A lot of like things from like the late 70s, early 80s is kind of like the most stuff going on there.
Miyuki, isn't that the name of the cat from Avatar The Last Airbender in the episode where Sokka
yes.
and Katara are sick?
Are sick. That's a, what a poll.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. No, that's true. Let's see. So the second one we have, the voice actor for Duke Orleans is Osamu Ichikawa. He is Badul in Super Dimensional Fortress Macross, a show I liked when I watched it forever ago. He is also Takashi Chiba in Aim for the Ace, the tennis shoujo one. So getting a little bit of shoujo rep here. He is O'Sullivan in Mobile Suit Gundam 0083 Stardust Memory.
Names are too much.
And he is also Norris in Mobile Suit Gundam the 08 the Mess Team. Pilot who has the coolest fight in Izaku or in a goof that I talked about a couple episodes ago, like two episodes ago or something. He's that
guy. I guess
guy.
Shows
He's him.
Just had long names because it was like a franchise name and then they added the name of the series and now it's just long names because they're dumb names, but I guess they just always had long name animes.
Yeah, well,
names
some of them are like
crazy.
They drop the beginning of Macross, they just call it Macross later. The first one is just called Super Dimensional Fortress Macross. Because yeah, more words, it's awesome. Yeah, anyway, also a voice actor that's like most of the stuff done between the late 70s or actually the early 70s for this guy through the 90s. So,
does he have like the good bad guy laughs in that too? But like where it makes no sense to really be laughing in this moment laughs.
No, like Norris is like a cool bad guy kind of dude who's like honorable and nice and you kind of like him.
Okay.
Duke and Orleans. Badul's a bad guy. Cool. He's just like, bleh. He's just huge. He's just a gigantic guy.
Gotcha. Cool.
All right. So we can get into the episodes now. Episode 5 of The Rose of Versailles is called With Tears of Dignity. We open on a very stylish animated recap of the events of the last two episodes. This episode, not that much happens, but there are a lot of like very stylish.
Yes.
The
like
things happening.
Cuts and layouts of things are interesting and different.
Yeah, this
just
is like the most
out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like the most we're doing like complicated scene transitions and like making little montages. Like it's all here. It's so much, which I think makes sense because not that much happens. After the recap, we jump to Madame Dewberry throwing another tantrum. King Louis enters and is like, you can't seriously still be on this, right? Like, it's been two episodes. We have to move on to something else. But she tells him that not only did Marie Antoinette ignore an order from Austria, she also insulted the king by ignoring his warning. King Louis thinks to himself that nobody can defy his orders and she shouldn't be defying him. She should be like kissing up to him or whatever and trying to win his favor. He angrily calls a meeting with his ministers and leaves.
Yeah. How dare his grandson's puny wife, he calls her.
Yeah. He seems like a loser.
Well, he's kind of like a, you know, petulant child, so does it surprise him that someone else would be as well?
Apparently, because nobody says no to him. because he's the big man in charge. He's definitely not being manipulated by Madame Dewberry all the time.
Nope.
Man-child. Dewberry collects herself as a laughing Duke Orleon enters the room. He's like, nice act, but as things stand, Marie is going to win long term. He tells her that King Louis is an old man now, and she'll be queen, or Marie will be queen when he dies. And if that happens, then Marie's probably going to, like, throw Dewberry in jail or, like, have her executed or something. Dewberry is like, no way. There's no way that can happen. We have to do something, Duke Orleon. And he's like, ah, don't worry. I'm organizing an accident for Prince Louis. And if he dies, then Marie will clearly be sent back to Austria. He fills her in on his plan, which is to rig Prince Louis's gun to explode during a fox hunt tomorrow. Then he's like, yep, then I'll be next in line and it'll be you and me. And we'll be ruling everything. And we got nothing to worry about, he says, even though she has no role in that future. So I don't know why she's excited about that. They strike a deal as the screen goes red and blood seeps down into the frame.
Well, it seemed like, basically, because he's like, okay, if he kicks it, you gotta make the push that I should be the next ruler instead, and we'll rule together. Which I'm like, is this just all like a play because Duke Orleon has the hots for Madame Dewberry and just is like, ditch the old man and get with me, babe?
I don't really get his plan here, because she's actually not playing any role in it at that point. Maybe he's just trying to, like, make allies before things happen. So he's like, oh, I'll let you in on my plan. So in case it goes wrong, like, you're still in my corner.
She's already demonstrated to be a terrible executor of plans and, like, unreliable.
I think about Duke Orleon and, like, how he operates. He seems like a guy who's just, like, putting irons in the fire kind of deal. Just like, we're just going to try a bunch of stuff and eventually one of them will work and then I'll be king. Like, I don't think he has a master plan.
No. I mean, messy for also, like, killing people to tie up loose ends. Like,
yeah, right.
Be a bit more precise, some people, maybe. Yeah.
And not others. So, yeah. We jump to Count Mercy being invited to a meeting with the king at Dewberry's apartment, and he's like, uh-oh, I know what this is about. We then move to a shady workshop where a man presents Duke Orleon with a rigged rifle that'll explode upon firing. The Duke tells him good work and then has one of his men kill the other guy. Then we see them replace the rigged rifle with the actual rifle in King Louis's, I don't know, armory, or Prince Louis's armory. It's the next day. King Louis, Dewberry, and Mercy all meet. They tell Mercy that Marie has to back down right now, and Mercy kind of like reluctantly agrees. He's like, no, I think that's right. But he wonders to himself how he's going to convince her to do that, because he has very little control over her. Mm-hmm. We cut to the fox hunt. Prince Louis, Duke Orleon, Lady Oscar, and Andre are all in attendance. We get some scenes of the hounds chasing a fox that
we
like chases
recycling.
Them.
We love recycling animation.
Oh yeah, there's like a ton of repeated stuff. It's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. They chase the fox to where Prince Louis is. He raises his rifle but hesitates shooting it, and Oscar is able to get the shot off instead. So Oscar scores a point.
Animal murderer Oscar
shooting a
points
fox.
Deducted.
This is like, it's so funny that like this is the thing that like the nobility does, is like a fox hunt where they basically
where they
bring the fox
anything.
To you and you just shoot it at point blank range. Yeah. It seems really like not good, like sportsmanship or anything.
What fox hunt I prefer? The ones in Walkabout Mini Golf where you're just finding clues to unlock cool putters. Way better fox hunt.
That's right. Oh, man. But alas, they didn't have Walkabout Mini Golf in.
No, tragically.
1770s France. So Oscar gets the kill. Duke Orleon rides up to her and is like, Oscar, you have to let the prince land a shot or it'll be embarrassing for him. Like, you can't just show up and like do everything for him. The hounds have another fox on the run. Oscar tells Prince Louis that he should get it. The fox lunges at Prince Louis, but he hesitates again and doesn't shoot. The fox gets so close to the horse that it spooks his horse and he's thrown from the saddle. He also throws his rifle, like when that happens, which explodes on impact with the ground, just like a huge explosion.
And no one is like, hey, that's weird. No one.
I think maybe that, I wonder how often rifles exploded.
Maybe, I guess so, but like.
Because he did just put gunpowder in there and it's probably lit, right? Because he's about to fire it. But yeah. So he almost dies, and he also threw it. So I guess everyone's just like, oh, maybe something like weird happened. I guess you wouldn't assume it was rigged if that happened.
Yeah.
Oscar rushes to Prince Louis, and Louis is like, wow, that was embarrassing. Please don't tell my wife, as Duke Orleans curses Louis. He's like, this
she
kid.
Has a high opinion of me yeah. that I need to protect.
This will be embarrassing if my wife finds out about this. Don't tell her, Oscar. And he's like, listen, I don't think this is going to drop her opinion of you more.
No, they've never.
Oh, he's such a ever. Loser. They like really make him come across as like a total
well,
loser.
Like Duke Orleans just calls him the locksmith now or like.
Yeah, he calls him the locksmith. Which is very funny. Mm-hmm. I get why he hates this kid.
Well, I mean, it's better to just be a doofus than like. You know, like conniving, I guess. I mean, both are bad.
Yes, either we don't really know anybody's politics.
Either you don't want it and you don't do anything, or you want it for the wrong reasons. Yeah. It's hard to come across like, right? Because we learn that even with his, you know, current guy, things are kind of not.
Oh, yeah, we learned that. Next
folks.
Episode, we learned some stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. About how things are going in France.
Mm hmm.
Okay, but for now, we cut back to Marie Antoinette, who's throwing a fuss over having to acknowledge Dewberry. She says she won't do it, and Mercy's like, all right, fine, you don't have to acknowledge Dewberry, but just know that your mom, who's been working her whole life to get this peace treaty between Austria and France, is going to be really disappointed, and the whole thing's going to be ruined by your selfishness. And Marie's like, oh man, I can't disappoint my mom.
Yeah, forget about all the lives that would be lost in the war that would come from this.
She's like, oh, my mom's going to be disappointed? Oh, I guess. She asks Oscar what she thinks, and Oscar tells her that she's being caught up in a rivalry between her aunts and Dewberry that could end up getting a lot of people killed. Marie imagines what war might be like, which is just her imagining, like, King Louis pointing a sword while there's, like, fire in the background, which is very funny. Oscar tells her that a true queen wouldn't put all those people in danger. Marie decides that she'll talk to Dewberry one time, only for her mom's sake, not for the people. Fuck the people, nope. Says Marie Antoinette.
Yep. Oh,
she's such God. A little brat.
Well, she's just very dramatically in her mind, like looking at a giant ass portrait of her mom, like, not my mom.
Yeah. Like, this is the thing that's important, not the fact that people die in war. Don't worry about that. It's not me. It's nobody I know.
Well, her mom seems to have a lot of conviction, but and we know she has sisters. Also, are we ever going to see Oscar's sisters again? That's something I'd like to see.
Probably not.
Like,
unless it comes up or something.
Is Antoinette's sisters also like this? Because it's like...
I don't know. She's
her mom tried
one,
so hard, and now she hasn't, and yeah.
Yeah, I maybe would have married a different one of my daughters off to...
Yeah, this one's a dud.
But, you know, I guess we'll find out. Maybe she'll grow into the position. Who knows? Everybody's gossiping about how Marie is going to cave to Dewberry. Andre's like, dang, Oscar, it looks like Marie lost this one. But Oscar yells at him and walks off. She walks into a building and... Mm-hmm.
If I was Marie Antoinette and I heard people saying that, that would just stoke me to be like, bitch, never mind. I'm going to prove all you wrong.
Uh-huh.
This is not helping.
Yes, that's what happened last episode, so.
Yes.
Oscar walks into a building and overhears Marie and Mercy practicing what she's going to say to Dewberry because it's all highly orchestrated and Marie is not happy about it. It's later in the day and we learn that Mercy has orchestrated an overly complex plan to make it seem like Dewberry and Marie will just happen to run into each other. Mercy goes to talk to Dewberry as Marie enters and addresses the rest of her court. She slowly makes her way over to Mercy and Dewberry. Finally, it's time, and she walks up to them while everybody looks on in anticipation. Marie greets Mercy, but hesitates on Dewberry. Before she can get a word out to her, one of the aunts rushes up to Marie and drags her off, and Marie's like, oh, I didn't do but I didn't talk to her yet. Like, this is the whole point. But the pull of the aunt is too strong, and she's pulled out of the room. Dewberry tells Mercy that she hates those damn aunts. What?
Yes! Those aunts are bad news.
Yeah, I mean, this is somebody why Oscar's like, something. I think you're just getting caught up in some petty bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it doesn't. The orchestration's so funny. It's like, okay, at 3:30, she's going to be playing cards, and I'm going to go over there and talk to him, and then you enter, and then I'll walk us across the room so you could, like, come at us, and we'll, like, meet at an intersection point. It's incredibly goofy.
Well, and these details have been leaked, and, like, people are, like, talking about how this is going to go down.
It's so dumb. Oh, it's so funny.
Man, yeah. I guess there's not a whole lot to get excited about back then.
Yeah, the lives of the nobility are so boring.
Mm-hmm.
Later, Marie tells Mercy that that wasn't her fault. She was actually going to address Dewberry, and Mercy's like, it's okay, everybody knows that it's the aunt's fault, so, like, don't worry about it. Marie vows that she will speak to Dewberry next time. We jump ahead to January 1st, 1772. The nobles are meeting up for New Year's. Everybody lines up to greet the royal family. It's finally Madame Dewberry's turn to greet them. She walks up to Marie, who waits a beat before telling her, Happy New Year. There sure are a lot of people at Versailles today. And Dewberry, having finally won, laughs menacingly as a black rose scatters across the screen to a defeated Marie.
It's so much.
It's like, so fucking good.
I guess everybody knows she's just a clown of a person. So, like, her doing this does not affect her reputation at all.
Oh, it's so funny.
Well, it, like, shows how desperate she was. So it's, like, not a victory, because it's just showing how, like, much you were wanting this. And
I can just picture, I wish they would have cut to King Louis's face where he's just like, good lord. Because it's so funny.
Yeah, can we stop calling her a redhead now, because it's really starting to piss me off, because it makes no sense, because her hair's not red. Like, can we stop it, Madame Dewberry?
The black rose scattering as Marie is defeated. Marie, overcome with despair, runs off. Oscar chases after her. Marie collapses on the ground after a little bit, and Oscar helps her up, and she tells Oscar that by acknowledging Dewberry, the French court is impure. The future queen of France has lost to a prostitute, as we cut to credits.
Oh my god.
The court's impure now, as unlike before, when it was pure, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay, one, it's not like Madame Dewberry was probably like, this is what I want for myself. She had to scrap by, you know, and I mean, by being like, oh, I don't want to acknowledge that, you're basically being like the rest of these people who have or suck, like, it's, having accepted Madame Dewberry up to this point.
Yeah, it's so goofy, because, like, you know that the Austrian court is not any better than this. But, you know, she was, like, 14 at the time, right? So she just didn't know anything. So it's, like, all courts are like this, Brie. Like, this is not unique to France.
No.
Good maybe Lord. Her mom should have taught her, like, what reality is like, instead of just being, like, here are good things and bad things.
Her mom will be, well, who knows? Yeah, not that her mom was, like, raising differently, probably, but...
I know, but her mom definitely knows that, like, stuff happens in her court and stuff's going on. So she's like, oh, yeah, things like there's some stuff going on in France. Oh, that's annoying. But for the politics, she has to be okay with it.
Just so be okay with it until you're queen, at least.
Yeah.
Just
no, but she can't be chill. This is what I'm saying. She's a little she can't just chill out about it.
But yeah, this episode is very Marie Antoinette and, like, barely any Oscar.
Yeah. But again, there's some cool, like, stuff here. Like, when she's about to address her, they do this thing where, like, the face appears left to right, and then Dewberry's face appears right to left. It's pretty cool. I don't know. I liked
so
all that
cool
stuff. Especially for an episode that didn't have that much else going on. I'd rather you, like, fill the time with some cool animation stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
You didn't seem that into it.
I just don't like Marie Antoinette.
Oh, okay.
Well,
we get more of an Oscar episode next one.
Well, yeah, but I'm also like, Oscar, you're changing your tune towards her, which is making me change my tune towards you.
Stern. We'll get into episode 6. Episode 6 is called The Silk Dress and the Ragged Dress. We open on Marie Antoinette talking with some noblemen about a proposed upcoming visit to Paris. They tell her that Paris is dangerous right now and she should probably hold off going, but Marie leaves in a huff and says she's just going to convince her husband to, like, let her go. Duke Orléans walks up to the nobles and said that they shouldn't worry about a trip to Paris because Oscar and the Royal Guard will be there to protect her. And we also see one of his little, like, noblemen lackeys along with him. Oscar, who's been standing there, clicks her heels and stoically agrees with the count as the OP plays. She does not seem super convinced that it is, but Duke Orleans like, yeah, she's got it right. Right, Oscar, you got it. And Oscar's like, yeah. After the OP, we jump to Marie walking in on Oscar and Andre. She's pumped that she'll be able to go to Paris after all, because I guess she convinced her husband. Oscar reminds her that her job is to greet the commoners because they haven't seen her before. And Marie is like, yeah, I know how to greet commoners. Don't you even worry about it. She continues imagining how wonderful Paris will be. Andre and Oscar leave. Andre notes that it's so weird that Oscar and Marie are the same age because they don't act at all alike. Oscar asks if he's teasing her, and he's like, no. It's like just interesting how people are different. Oscar says that she kind of likes how Marie is so childlike and like finds it charming, even though she has other problems. Andre notes that maybe opposites attract. And also, not everybody likes that. Oscar, that's a you thing.
Yeah.
Oscar's like, well, anybody Oscar would find that.
Anybody would find that
charming. Yeah.
Never allowed herself to be a child. So she's like experiencing childhood through Marie.
Yeah. This is how she can experience like young womanhood, is by observing Marie Antoinette almost start a war.
So cute. Adorable.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We'll see. But yeah, so she's warming up to her a little bit. That's fun. Andre is like, I don't find her nearly that charming.
Dude, same.
Which is very funny also.
Yes.
We cut to Duke Orleans and his buddy meeting in a dark basement. His bud complains about Marie being from Austria and how it sucks that an Austrian's here. And also he hates the crown prince and wants to see Duke Orleans in power. Duke Orleans throws a knife at a barrel. His buddy continues, saying that they need to do something to make him the king. He proposes that maybe during their visit through Paris, there's a little accident that happens, which could get rid of both King Louis and discredit the royal guard, because they have two goals, we learn. Orleans throws a second knife, and this time a single drop of red wine drops under the floor. Very dramatic.
Yeah, these guys, goofy little villains with their menacing shadows.
Yeah. It seems like Orleans, like, plan here is to, one, discredit the royal guard so they don't, like, start a fuss if he does, like, a takeover or something, and get rid of King Louis, or Prince Louis.
I feel like if he was just like, hey, Louis, here's some money, go to, like, the top blacksmithing city of the world, Louis would be like, okay, bye. I'm outie. Like, I feel he could just be like, step aside, my dude, and he'd be like, okay.
I mean, not when it comes or to being the king, him. Though, you know?
He seems a little spineless. Oh, well, I guess.
I don't think he's going to be like, oh, I'm going to not become king.
Oh, I guess.
Anyway, we cut to Paris. Oscar, Andre, and Ghirardel, who's back, are scoping out the route.
Ghirardel looking good.
Yeah,
he's got such pretty hair.
He's being chill. They scope out the procession, like where the parade's gonna go, as the regular town folk gossip about the upcoming visit. We pan over the city, from the nicer parts to the slums, as a voice tells us that Paris, the city of flowers, is full of suffering people at the hands of inattentive nobles. A significant number of people living in the city are in abject poverty and can't afford simple things like bread. We see a starving man try to steal some bread while the, like, owner of the bakery chases him off, but as he leaves, everybody else who's just been waiting there pounces on it and raids the bakery, including a young woman named Joan. Oh, I said that weird. Joan returns home to her mother and sister, Rosalie. She complains that she doesn't like being poor, and her mom tells her that she should be working and stop complaining about being poor. Joan tells her mom to tell her the story about how they're actually descendants from the Volus family, the former royal family before their male line died out and the Bourbons took over. This is a true thing, by the way. Joan comments that they're still technically royalty and that they should be the ones living in Versailles. But Rosalie and her mom think she's just daydreaming. But Joan proclaims that this life is the dream, a nightmare that she wishes she could wake up from. Her mom slaps her and tells her that like it or not, she needs to work to survive, and daydreaming about a better life isn't going to help them. Her mom has a coughing fit, and Rosalie, the sister, jumps up to help her. Joan declares that she'll make her dream a reality and leaves. Rosalie comforts her mom as they are alone in the basement.
What do you think of, like, she is a brat, but also I can see being very frustrated that this is your situation when it should have been something else.
Yeah, I mean, this is like Joan very much here is like the
future Dewberry flunky. I feel like.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I guess we'll find out.
She's going to be like emblematic of like the French Revolution stuff. I mean, this is the part where it's like, oh, you can see why everything goes to hell. Because she is not satisfied with where she's at. I mean, she has this whole thing about being from the Voilus family. So like there's that. But you can see why you get people like Dewberry, right, in the conditions that you're in, because like you have to escape things somehow. And the only way to do it is to scheme, because you can't just live a virtuous life. Yep. Nope. I mean, this is where like Oscar's whole thing falls apart. Like it only works for Oscar because she's like from a noble family.
Yep.
Everybody else has to scrap. Not
everyone has that luxury. Yep. Of maintaining their morals. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think she should be. I mean, I do think she should be helping her mom out. But also it's like, yeah, I think you do need to come up with some sort of scheme, or you probably are just going to die in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Later that evening, Oscar, Andre, and Ghirardelle are chilling outside drinking some wine. They notice Duke. Oh, I got okay. I'm going to listen to how to pronounce this name real quick. They notice Duke Guimena, Orleans' buddy, who we've seen meeting with some shady guy a few tables over. Ghirardelle recognizes the shady man as Charles Corday, a fearsome swordsman who used to be in the Royal Guard, but was chased out after getting into a lot of gambling debts. We see Duke Guimena and Corday shake hands. Duke de Guimena leaves to get into his carriage. Joan's there and tries to get him to like spare, you know, she starts begging to him, basically being like, I used to be from this family. You know, can you give anything like, to a royal, like a former royal? And he swats her away and leaves.
Take a
Jean on. What?
It's just very funny that she just immediately gets shut down.
Yeah, she does. This is the wrong guy to beg towards. He swats her away and Joan curses her fate as she lays on the ground.
Very dramatic.
It's the next day.
So dramatically.
Oh, she's very dramatic. It's so
good. She calls him like an old fart and she's like calling him all the names. Yeah, that's good.
See, it's the next day. We hear the town folks gossip about how there's going to be, now that there's peace between Austria and France, taxes will be lower and life will be better. Surely that will happen, right? There's no way that could go wrong. And it's all thanks to Marie Antoinette, who we all love, for bringing peace to us. So we should give her like a big cheer when she shows up. Oscar mounts up for the parade. General Jarges reminds her that horses can get spooked in big crowds, so like be careful about that. She rides off and the general tells Andre that he has a bad feeling about today. The parade starts and we see Marie and Prince Louis in a carriage and Duke Orléans in another carriage. And also Oscar and Ghirardelle are like riding alongside them. So everybody is here. Except for Andre, because Andre has been tailing Duke. God, I have to like pronounce this guy's name every time. He tails Duke Guimena. He sees him meet with Corday in a cathedral. We see Duke Guimena hand Corday a bundle of dynamite.
Super discreet.
Real casual about this. But I guess you just could do this back in the day because it's like they don't have surveillance cameras. Nobody knows what you're doing.
Just a stick of dynamite, like we're Looney Tunes up in here.
It's really good.
Oh, good.
Let's see. The parade reaches Paris and Marie is able to visit the City of Flowers for the first time. The people are jazzed to finally see their future queen, including Joan's there, too. She's like, yeah, this is fun. And Marie is eating it up. Andre rides up to the parade, but the rear guard stops him. He's like, I got a message for Oscar about a potential bomb. So they let him through. Andre informs Oscar of the dynamite, and she and Andre rush off to find Corday. They split up, and Oscar barely catches sight of Corday before he could throw the dynamite. She tackles him from his, like, she jumps off of her horse and tackles him, and then kicks the dynamite into the river. Corday runs away, into a sewage tunnel with Oscar in pursuit. Corday about faces and draws his sword, and Oscar's nicked in the arm, but she's able to jump away and pull her own saber. They duel. Oscar is able to quickly and fairly easily disarm Corday. She has him at sword point, and she asks him if Duke Guimena hired him. Without answering, Corday bites his ring and poisons himself. He dies immediately.
Crazy how those effects just Marie- like, he turns what? Into a little zombie man immediately.
Yeah. It's really fast funny to just see like him bite his ring, and then it's just like immediate. Mm-hmm. And Oscar's like, drat, another one dead. We cut to Marie waving to a crowd as she says that she is truly blessed. A voiceover says that if Marie had never forgotten the happiness and love she felt this day, then she wouldn't have become a tragic queen.
Foreshadowing of something we all totally didn't already know.
Are you telling me this? Yes. You telling me this doesn't work out for her?
Say what?
We cut to Joan throwing stones into a river. She sees a noble's carriage and she dives in front of it. The driver stops and she goes to the carriage to beg the noble lady to help her. The noble lady in the carriage recognizes the name that Joan gives for her father, Baron Saint Remy. Joan says her parents are dead and that she's all alone now. Feeling bad, the woman invites her into the carriage to join her. The noblewoman introduces herself as the Marquis Boulanvers. Hold on.
Nailed it.
I'm using an online dictionary thing. How to pronounce. Let's go. Boulanvers. Marquis Boulanvers. God, that's a big name. And Joan can stay with her now. Joan looks at the fireworks and thinks that her future can now happen. We cut to Rosalie buying bread. The baker tells her that the price is going up and there's nothing they can do about it. Rosalie thinks that if this continues, she can't afford bread and medicine for her mother. Rosalie is almost ran over by a carriage, and a man peeks his head out and apologizes, but she says it's okay, and the carriage continues onward because she doesn't try to leverage her name into riches, which maybe she should have done, because it sounds like her mom's going to die if she doesn't do that.
Yeah. Well, how is someone to believe that? How is someone like, okay, sure, if you say so, I'll take your word for it with no, like, documentation or proof that you're this person you're claiming to be. Oh boy.
Yeah, I don't know.
But this person.
I don't,
in
you know.
The carriage. Hot. Hottest guy we've seen this is, so far.
We're told that this guy's Fursen from the few episodes ago. Remember that one time we saw Fursen as he was watching the procession go to Versailles?
Yeah.
And they're like, this is Fursen. He's not going to be here for a little bit. Well, he's here now. He tells his attendant that France is in a bad way, and he hopes that the royals notice that France is in a bad way before, you know, bad things happen. I wonder if they'll do that. A voiceover tells us that Fursen has been traveling all over Europe to learn things, and that his fateful encounter with Marie and Oscar is at hand as we cut to credits.
Yeah, he's, like, from Sweden, but I don't know. He's just been studying, like, diplomacy or something. But, yeah, I'm here for it. He's handsome. And he seems like not a piece of shit. So he's got like huge edge over everyone else as a character so far. What? What? Hmm? Oh my
Sorry,
God.
I was,
do
you I was,
know?
I was listening
you're
right
now what's
names.
Happening. You're like, oh, that guy sucks actually, Sarah. Like, yeah,
person?
I don't know. Is he even
I don't
a
know
real
person?
About person? Probably not.
Good question. Let's look him up.
Because I don't know if you've sat and watched through the ending credit titles, but it's just like this one giant mural of characters that they pan between, but he's in one of them, and they you know they hint that like, oh, the meeting between Oscar, Antoinette, and Fursen is coming up, and that that's gonna be a whole thing. So I'm guessing he's gonna be a major player soon.
Yes, he's a real guy. Axel von Fursen the younger
Axel,
known as Axel de Fursen in France, was a Swedish count. He's Swedish, Marshal of the Realm of Sweden, the General House in the Royal Swedish Army, one of the Lords of the Realm, aide-de-camp to Rochambeau in the American Revolutionary
Rochambeau.
War. Oh, he's going to go fight. Diplomat and statesman and a friend of Queen Marie Antoinette of France.
Hmm.
And then there's a line about how he dies, which
I'm
not going to say.
Everyone in the story dies at some point, right? People die. It totally doesn't have anything bad. Nothing bad's going to happen to him.
People die. He doesn't seem
he's
to die.
Too hot to die.
Related to the French Revolution. Okay. Let me say that because he's not French.
That's
he's
true.
Swedish. Wow, he's going to fight in the American Revolutionary
like
War. That's crazy.
Her mister. Like she has an affair on her locksmith husband with him or something.
Oh.
Also,
that makes more
she's
sense,
a
you know?
Child human, though. So it's like, ew, she's. I can't see her being very like seductive.
I did see a like today I learned post that's about how King Louis the 16th was bad at sex.
Well, that's not
which
surprising.
Does not surprise me.
Yeah,
it was the least surprising thing to
yes,
learn today.
Very much so.
So yeah, what you know, a- yeah, he has a long section of the French Revolution, so he must be doing some
yeah,
stuff.
Sweet. Is do we know if Du Barry has what her first name, what her real name is?
Yeah. I'm gonna have to. I don't know how to say this.
Here we go.
Jeanne Bécu.
Okay.
Countess Du Barry.
So, Jean.
I've been saying, yeah, I've been saying Joan for Jean.
Well, I think of that, that PSP game.
I don't want to say Jean because that sounds stupid. Yeah, yeah. Well, I say like Joan of Arc, right? So that's what I'm saying. And like the character in this who's like the, you know, her name is also Joan, Jean, or however you're supposed to say it. I'm just saying Joan because I don't want to say Jean because I think that sounds goofy. Yeah. Like Gene Hackman. but I can't actually, I don't know any French. Yeah. I can't use French pronunciation. So
you like,
bear with me, guys.
When she like shooed away the children who had nothing to be happy about, like dancing about the princess coming, and she's like, scram, beat in there, like it's mean Jean or whatever.
yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, how do we like her? New characters.
I feel like she's just gonna be another pain in the ass, but she seems like she'll be entertaining as well, at least.
I mean, I feel like I'm most sympathetic to her out of everybody in the story so far.
She's just also not presenting as like a likable person, like understandable how she feels, but like how she's presenting or interacting is not like the best.
Yeah, I mean, they make her a little devious, but also like she's just kind of right. Like if they just try to live a life where they work and do stuff, they're all gonna die, which is just true. I mean, I don't think she should like necessarily, you know, abandon her mom and sister, but
well, do you think it like because they're like, oh, it's too dangerous to go to Paris, is it because like, oh, all the people are like probably pissed at us for being shitty monarchs and they'll just like take it out on us if we go there in person? I mean, because the king didn't go with them. Yeah. he hung back.
No. Yeah. No, I think that's exactly because, again, it's all of the counts, right? It's all of the nobility who's probably go to France that are sent to Paris that know this. Like, it's not the royal family. And she's able to convince, you know, Prince Louis really easily. Yeah. Right. So they probably aren't aware about how bad things are.
True.
So it's like all the advisors being like, people are probably really pissed at you guys.
Yeah. Well,
but they are just unable.
I'd like to see if Marie Antoinette gets, like, it's forced upon her to acknowledge or see this, like, conditions for people and what her thoughts are. If she's just like, ew, gross, get them away from me.
Do we think she's going to see it? Because I don't think she saw it
here.
Well,
what if it's, like, somehow it's forced upon her to look at it?
I mean, that's the thing that, like, Jean can bring, right? If she can show up and be like, oh, well, this is what it's like out there. So I'll be interested to see if that's what happens or like what kind of role she plays in this, because yeah, I don't think Marie Antoinette came from this trip thinking anything other than, oh, Paris is so beautiful and everyone's so nice to me.
Yeah. Is Jean gonna, like, maybe she tries to, I don't know, replace Madame Dewberry within Duke Orleans plans or something? Because she'll probably be like, you know, screw this, the family that, you know, took over my family's legacy of ruling, like, let's, or what do you think her role is gonna be?
I think it depends a lot, because like we get the name drop for the Marquis Bolinviers or whatever, so it's gonna depend a lot on who she is, I think, and like where her position is in all of this, because that's gonna set the stage of like who Jean can interact with.
That's true. Oh yeah. Yeah, I guess.
So I'll be interested to see who that lady is. I guess I could just look it up, but that's not fun.
Don't do it. Be in the dark like the rest of us who aren't up to date on French Revolution history.
I don't really know much about the lead up to it, so this has been interesting. I feel like this next thing will be interesting. I do like how they just pivot to Paris and being like, Paris, France, everything's going to hell. Things are awful for everybody in it because the nobility sucks. And I'm like, okay, we're being like very straightforward about like what the problems are and why. Yeah. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Right, these two episodes are a bit more laid back. What was the word count on this in comparison to like the last one? As far as like, if we think
this one was 2200.
Okay, never mind. So not any different.
I mean, we could move to three, maybe.
Well, this is like a lull
in
intensity, but what if it's about to just ramp back up?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lull in intensity because like
one arc,
we ended one arc and we started another one. And the end of that last arc was like pretty nothing or like pretty, pretty brief. Let me look at the names of the episodes. Maybe that'll help.
I do like the
we can
Some of the names have been pretty good for these episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Next episodes. Who wrote the love letter? The Oscar of my heart. The sun sets and the sun rises.
The Oscar of... Oh, what? Okay. Well, maybe Joan becomes like her most fervent fan ever and is like super intensely pursuing Oscar or something, maybe.
Here's you want me to read the first sentence of the summary of the next episode? Growing bored with Prince Louis's self-indulgence, Marie decides to go to a masquerade ball.
Ew, that sounds fun. Oh, this is where she meets him and they fall in love. Mr. Sweden it might man. Be.
That would not surprise
also,
me.
Also, we didn't
then episode 8
talk mm-hmm. about the fact that we had a 3-year time skip. That's also a thing that happened. So, or briefly mentioned it, but just like our first major time skip, because it's like 3 years from when the Madame Du Barry.
Yeah, she's 17 now. Yeah.
So we're starting to get, we're progressing along in time now.
We're progressing. Yeah, it's 1772.
Yeah.
So we are
trucking along.
17 years
so long.
Away from the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. 89, I think. So, yeah. So we do want to do one episode or no, two episodes or three.
Let's go for 3.
Okay, we're going to try 3. So we'll try 7 through 9. This next one.
Yeah. Sweet, sweet.
What? Yeah. I'm like reading the first sentences of each one.
Don't look down. Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah. All right.
Sweet.
Well.
5 and 6.
If you like the podcast, please rate it 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. We appreciate everybody who's been doing that. Yeah. It's a good way to share the show. You can also share the show by posting about it on social media or telling your friends to listen to it and watch The Rose of Versailles. We're enjoying it quite a bit, so they probably will too. You know, sometimes old stuff are good.
Yeah, that's right.
That was it.
Okay, well, yeah, this is certainly... We're doing a good job. Everything we're covering has been quite different from each other. Hopefully your mom has your mom started watching this one?
I think so.
Okay. I just love that your mom is the one who's like, where's the episode? When I fall behind.
Yeah. Sorry about that last one. Different sound setup. So we talked about it. I guess we're releasing an episode, a bonus episode on Jurassic Park that will have already come out by the time you're listening to this.
Yes, I'm tired.
Maybe we'll do some more bonus stuff. We're going to kind of see how it goes.
All the talking.
Scheduling complicated with us because, you know, we live full lives.
And Sarah doesn't like schedules.
So. Oh,
God.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah edits some of them and she's a lazy gal. So despite all these things, I have self-inflicted working against myself getting it done.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. All right. I guess thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to watch the next 3 episodes for our coverage next week of The Rose of Versailles. And have a good rest of your weeks. And happy 1-year anniversary to Shoujo. Go us.
Yeah.
Boop-a-da-boo.
Go us.
Okay.
I don't know. Are we remembering something?
What?
Are we doing the remember something at the end? Or are we just being like, it's been a year. Remember, it's been 1 year. Bye.
What's your favorite series?
You can just cut this part out.
Covered this year. Our favorite moment.
My favorite series.
Favorite moment of the podcast within the last year or something.
Of like when we were talking in the podcast
know.
Or like of the things we've watched.
Most excited you've been or... Favorite part of a show?
Favorite part of a show?
Best joke, Kazuhaya Haya listens to Creed, which there's nothing wrong with that. Creed rules.
We need more inside jokes. We need to banter a little bit more. Okay. I feel like we need to drive that up. You know what I mean? Because if we're going to like, we can't make any like inside joke merch as it stands.
Okay. Yeah, because
we need to start dropping more unhinged in unhinged posts. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Well, the problem is, like, both of us are so different as far as, like, I don't know. You're, like, much deeper and I'm a lot more shallow. So it's, like...
No, I'm talking about jokes. I mean, we just need to make some, like, really kind of jokes. Like, Okay, remember, if you're going to try to like meet with an assailant and you're going to be sneaky about it and I don't care that your account, don't wear a hat with a huge ass feather. Yeah. These huge ass feathers hats keeps giving you away. Yes. They recognized what's his face immediately. Like,
that's right.
What's his face is just like, oh, hey, it's the count. You see that? He's right there. They weren't even looking for you, man. They just noticed
that's
you.
That's right. Joe loves espionage. A good hat. It would catch his attention immediately.
Yeah, so, don't do that.
Yep. Play it cool. right. Yep. Okay.
Embarrassing.
This is the best ending of our episode so far, I think.
I liked it when I ended with that Christmas song. We did the Christmas episode. That was good.
Yes.
You think we'll have a Christmas episode?
There was no Christmas New Year's episode. No, I guess. I don't know. What's the religious state of France at the time? Are we like, I don't know, like
they would be Catholic, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
Okay.
They certainly wouldn't be Protestant, right? Because that's the English are Protestant. They hate each other.
Yeah, I don't know.
They never go to church.
I guess just nothing notable happened in history to make the cut.
Yeah, Catholic Church.
Gotcha. Well, good Lord. This episode. Okay.
That's the
end. This is it.
Bye.
Fare thee well. Thank you.